So if you can turn to 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter. Way back there in the New Testament, just before the book of the Revelation. 2 Peter and chapter number 2. We'll read the last verse from chapter 1. So 2 Peter, first chapter and verse number 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelleth among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And this is the verse that I just want to focus in on. I just read all those previous verses so we can get the context. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. And we trust that the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word to us. When I come to my Bible, I find out something straight away, that numbers are quite important. Numbers flow throughout the Bible, and many of them have very significant meaning as you go through the Bible. This isn't a ministry session tonight, so I'm not going to start talking to you about which numbers mean what. Tonight, I just want to talk to you about the number 2. Because as I read down this passage, I find 3 number 2s here. I find that there are 2 types of people in this world. Mm-hmm. I find that there are 2 types of lives that you can live in this world. Mm-hmm. And I find that there are 2 different outcomes for those 2 different lives and those 2 different people living in this world. Now, that's the simplicity of the message that I've got to you for you today, my dear friends. It's as simple as that. 3 2s. I want to talk to you about the 2 types of people that are in this passage. There's the godly, and there is the ungodly. There's the just, and there's the unjust. There's the righteous, and there's the unrighteous. And as you go down this passage, you just can't quite get away from it. In fact, the only time that the number 2 fails me in this passage is when the Apostle Peter is talking about the angels. Because the angels that sinned, there was no salvation for those angels that sinned. Whereas when the judgment comes upon the world for Noah, and when the judgment comes upon Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot's taken out and saved, Noah and his family are taken out and saved. But for the angels that sinned, there's no salvation available for them. My dear friends, even if you don't believe what the Bible says, you can thank God for this tonight, that salvation is available for you. Amen. Even though you've sinned, even though I've sinned, God has given us a way of salvation. And he wants you to be saved. He desires you to be saved. He does not desire you to see the judgment that is coming on this earth, my dear friends, and upon the eternal souls of those who do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that man there who I've just mentioned, the Lord Jesus, he's the one who splits all of mankind right down the middle. You are one of those two types of people, either godly or ungodly, just or unjust, righteous or unrighteous, based on what you think about the Lord Jesus Christ and what you think about the Lord Jesus Christ alone. The Bible says that when the Spirit is come, and the Spirit has come, that he will convict of sin because they believe not on me. There are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he is basically saying is, the Lord there, is the most important sin that any man can commit is the sin of unbelief. He has died on the cross for you. He shed his precious blood. And if you do not believe the testimony that God has given about his son, you are going to be placed in that category of ungodly, unjust, unrighteous, and you are going to be cast off into the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone. That's why we preach earnestly to you tonight, my dear friends, because we don't want you to stay in that category of person. You don't need to stay there. You can switch sides, you know. I often use this illustration. I'm glad the chairs are sat like this tonight, because Christ right down the middle. And I'm not casting aspersions upon anyone. I don't really mind which side of the aisle you've sat on tonight. But if Christ is the one down the middle who splits all of mankind, there's people sat on one side, there's people sat on the other. There's people who don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, there's people who do believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And at any moment, through simple repentance and faith, you can stand up from the side of unbelief and you can walk right on over and sit right down on the side of the godly, the ones who are at rest, the ones who are at peace, because the Lord Jesus Christ, he's done the work. And if you simply come and believe on him, you no longer have to be in that category of the unjust and the unsaved. You see, as we was going down this passage, as we got to the judgments and the punishments that were spoken about, specifically the judgments that came on this world, they were very severe. Very, very severe. In fact, the first one that we read about on this earth with Noah, it wiped out all of mankind except from eight people. And the second one that we read about, it wiped out two cities apart from one family. God is in the business of saving. And he desires you to be saved tonight. That's why he offered a way out for Noah. It's why he offered out a way out for the people who Noah was preaching to. It's why he offered out a way out for Lot. And he would have also offered a way out for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah as well. But the truth of the matter is this. As I read through my Bible, I find something that makes my spine shiver. Those who actually get saved, those who actually get delivered, are often a very small number of people. Where do you stand tonight? Are you in that small company of people who's on their way to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you on the broad road that leadeth to destruction? You know, there's many paths on the broad road, you know, but it's still all the same road. False religion will take you on that road. Atheism will take you on that road. Agnosticism will take you on that road. Just not caring about anything will take you on that broad road that leadeth to destruction. The path to life and the path to the Lord Jesus Christ is very narrow, and few there be that find it. You have opportunity tonight, my dear friends. If you've not yet placed yourself on that path, you can place yourself on that path through simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can avoid the judgment and the punishment of hell and the lake of fire. You know, it's not God's will that you go there. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God has displayed in such a magnificent way that that's not his will, because he sent his only begotten son into this world to die for you and to die for me, so that you don't have to go to that place which was not created for mankind, but was created for the devil and his angels. So there's two types of people in this world. Those who are just, those who are unjust. Those who are righteous, those who are unrighteous, those who are godly, those who are not godly, or if we might be able to put it a bit simpler tonight, those who are saved and those who are not. Are you saved? Are you saved as you sit there on your seat tonight? Are you saved? Next, there's two types of lives, or there's two choices that these people made. Noah lived for God. He was a preacher of righteousness for God. He lived out his life on this earth for God. But the others, you know, who faced the judgment, they lived for self. They lived for their own desires and their own ways. That's really what is at the center of all sin, you know. Sin is a little small word, S-I-N, and right in the middle of it is that word, is that little letter I. Sin basically comes down to self-will. I want to live my own life. I want to go my own way. I want to think my own thoughts. I want to do my own thing. I don't want anything to do with the God in heaven. But that life, my dear friends, it's putting you on a collision course with God's judgment. It's putting you on a collision course with his punishment. It's putting you on a collision course with hell in the lake of fire. And one of the great truths of Scripture that we find is, yes, we need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, but we also need to repent. We need to have a complete change of mind. You know, I once lived for self. I loved it. I loved living for self. I did everything that I could to live for myself, apart from the fact I was absolutely empty whilst I was doing it. I wanted to go here, I wanted to go there. I was into everything that I could possibly get my filthy hands on. And I realized at the end, it was all empty vanity, nothing. It didn't leave me with anything at all. But when that self-will got put away, and the Lord worked in my heart, and showed me who the Lord Jesus Christ was, showed me that he died for my sins on Calvary's tree, showed me that he loved me and gave himself for me. Well, living for self just didn't quite cut it anymore. Living for self, it just wasn't the same anymore. When I had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I wanted to live for him. And that's really one of the great transformations that happens in somebody. Christ himself said, you've got to count the cost. You've got to take up your cross and walk. Why is that? Because after you get saved, there's a walk for the Lord Jesus Christ before you get to heaven, you know. And it's not easy at times, but I tell you what, there's no better life to live on this earth than to live for God. Amen. To live for self, it'll bring you down to destruction at the end. But to live for Christ is wonderful. He said it himself. He said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Mm. That's salvation there. If you come to him tonight, he'll give you rest. But he goes on. Mm. He goes on. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Not given rest this time, but finding rest. Mm. Different, you see. Different. Find rest by living for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I tell you what, at the end of it all, you get transported up into his presence and you're with him for all of eternity. That's what's on offer in the gospel this evening. Now, I've just slipped into my final point there a little bit, so we'll go into it. There's two types of people, two types of lives, two outcomes. Within the Bible, there's many warnings. And you know, you go around the world and you find warnings all the time as you go around the world. Say, for example, if you're walking down the white cliffs of Dover, and you're right on the top of the cliff, there might be a couple of signs knocking around just saying, watch out, there's a cliff there. And what do we all do instinctively? We all say, well, I'll stay away from the edge. And if I'm there, trust me, I'll be staying a million miles away from that edge. I don't do well with heights. Not at all. And we listen to the warnings, don't we? If we went, for example, to South Africa, the shark-infested waters all round there. If you went down to a beach and it said, warning, sharks, I don't think you're going to be putting your swimming cozzy on and jumping straight in there in a moment of time, are you? You're going to be listening to that warning sign. But when it comes to the Bible, do we listen to the warnings? Do we listen to the warnings in the Bible? Challenge my own heart on this as a believer. Do I listen to the warnings as a believer? There's warnings for the believer in there as well, you know. There's warnings for the lost. And the warning for the lost is the most important warning sign you can ever fix your eyes on in this world. Warning. Judgment is coming. It says there back in the Old Testament, prepare to meet thy God. It says there in the book of Revelation that a great white throne was set up and all the dead were raised to stand before that great white throne and were judged out of the books. The warning is this. God is going to judge one day. In this passage, he judged in the angelic realm. He judged the angels. Then he judged creatorially. He totally changed the whole world with a worldwide flood. And then he judged societally. He destroyed two cities who had gone far, far away from him. He is going to judge. That's the warning. And if you are in that first category of people, you will be judged for your own sins and you'll be cast off into the lake of fire for all of eternity. That is the warning, my dear friends. We don't like preaching hell. Please don't get the wrong idea that we like getting up here and preaching about hell. We have to because it's in this book. I reckon most Christians, if they could get away with not speaking about one thing, it would be hell. But we have to talk about it because it's one of two destinations for all of mankind. And do you know what the sad thing is? Most people walking out in this world today are going to end up in that place. That's the reality of it. Make sure you're not there. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who bore your sins in his own body on the tree. And do you know what that means? That means you can have your sins forgiven. And that means when you stand before God, he's got nothing to condemn you for. I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day as my Saviour and my judge. But let me tell you, my sins will not be brought to that throne. I will not be judged based on my sins and I will not be cast down into the lake of fire. Why? Because I'm such a good person or because I've done loads of good works or because I preach? No. Because the Lord Jesus Christ died for me and I've accepted it by faith. That's all you need to do tonight and you can be on your way to a place where the streets are gold, where the tree of life is in the midst, where the river of life is in the midst, and most importantly, where the Lord Jesus Christ himself resides and delights to be with his people for all of eternity. I can't wait to get there. Praise God. I can't wait to be with my Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason why we're doing these meetings in Kozel is because we want to take as many people as we can with us to be with the Lord Jesus. We've tasted and seen that he's good. We've looked upon his sacrifice on Calvary and we declare with him it is a finished work. There's nothing left undone. You know, think about that. One man dying on a cross 2,000 years ago was enough to rid the world of all sin and of all sins. it's an amazing, amazing message that we have to preach to you, my dear friends. You can have your sins forgiven. You can have peace with God through your Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what my text says, which I didn't even preach on at all. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. He knows how to do it. He will do it. He has done it. The work has been complete. But the warning is this, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. I trust the Lord will bless his word. Pass over to the next speaker.